Hey, it's time to take a break with Gene and Mary every weekday at noon Eastern Time. Join us as we talk about what's on our minds. Email us at contactgeneandmary@gmail.com or interact with us on Facebook for your chance to win a free gift every week.
Warning. Side effects may include jocularity, increased knowledge, and a great way to spend 15 minutes-ish.
Yeah.
Gotta I'll add take that some of that in there. Yeah. Oh, man.
Beauty's in the eye of the holder.
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder or the beer holder. Yes, definitely.
I was thinking ear holder.
I was thinking, you know, beer, make, you know, beer goggles.
Yeah. Oh, it's true. True. Or one of those hats.
Yeah. Beer. The more you drink, the purtier it gets.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah. And so what are you doing today? It's been quite a crazy morning for me. How are you doing?
Today I've got, it seems like I got meeting after meeting after meeting lined up.
Oh man. And, yeah.
You know, it's just one of those days. I get a little break in here with you, and then I have to jump off and go to another meeting. And after that, I have another meeting. And I had to schedule that first meeting so that it didn't interfere with the second meeting. And it took us about three emails to settle on a time and date for the meeting.
That's the difficulty with the whole virtual thing. It's got so many advantages for us, but the disadvantages just are really kind of glaring sometimes.
God forbid we should just pick up a telephone and say, "Hi, I'm available at 12:30 on Wednesday. Is that a good time for you? Just flip to your calendar. Let me know. I'll wait." Yeah. No. We have to do it email after email after email. And we're jumping time zones, and who knows? It's crazy.
It is. I'm not a phone talker though. I will almost go out of my way to not talk on the phone if I can possibly get away from
it. I have noticed it.
You know, I sit on the phone with you any length of time, whoever you are, then you know that it's important. I appreciate it.
Well, you write a long text message sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It's good. You find a way to communicate, and everybody has their preferred methods, and that's okay. Today's word of the day, I'm going to give you the word.
Okay.
But then I'm going to let you give the definition.
Oh my goodness. Do I need my Merriam-Webster?
I don't know.
Whatever I've got now.
It's your word. You told me about it. Catalyst.
Oh, okay.
The word catalyst. Is catalyst.
Oh, well,
not catapult.
Not catapult, although that could be a catalyst.
It could be.
I think of catalyst myself when I suggested that as something that facilitates change, you know, whether it's voluntary or involuntary.
I agree.
So you can, and what I think about catalyst is once you understand how it works, you can use it to your advantage, and you can avoid letting catalysts that work against your advantage or against you, and you can avoid them.
So yes.
Something that now here I am. I just gave myself a pop quiz. I didn't take any notes down on my train of thought. But the idea is that, you know, something that just pops up that makes you change. Let's say they're doing road construction and you have to change your way. Well, that's a catalyst for doing something different. And you go down a different road for the first time in 10 years, and something you never saw before in your whole life completely changes your perspective and sends you on a whole different something new.
Yeah.
And that can be a good thing or a bad thing, because it could be that something good and something great and something new, or you could go down the other road and that's where a big truck pulls them in front of you and you crash your car. You know, it's a catalyst.
Yeah.
But now that you understand, you know, if you understand that was the thing that did it, maybe you go a different way next time.
Well, you know, I often tell you, just jump, build your wings as you're falling. Mm-hmm. Well, the jump would be the catalyst to uh-huh. build your wings. You don't, you know, if you take a leap of faith and you start enacting the steps necessary to complete your task immediately, you don't have any time to think or procrastinate or hesitate. And I'm a real good preacher, not necessarily a real good follower of my own preaching. But I do believe that one of the reasons I've hesitated to get all of my books published is maybe the world wasn't ready for them yet. And now I'm feeling very strongly pushed to complete them. And one of the short stories that I recently wrote, I'm planning to turn it into a script for Be Unique to create a film out of.
Nice.
But that is not what we came here to talk about today. Do you do you know what we're talking about today?
Well, but the thing is, what I was thinking of is when you were just saying that, is that if you jump, and what I'm finding is I'm doing some jumping right now.
Yeah.
And that is a catalyst for change, you know, and I don't know what the change is. And I'm going to meet a lot of catalysts as I go every day down the yeah. road. And in my comfortable life, I have a good, pretty good control over those catalysts. But boy, when you don't know what you're going to meet now, it's the way I'm going to meet them is what's the difference. Is when I meet it, it's either going to be something that's going to beat me down, or it's going to be something that's going to be show me something new and different that I never saw before.
Yeah,
going to lift you up. Because I wasn't prepared for it. So it's going to beat me down, but that's not how I'm going to do it. I'm looking instead how I can, wow, I can fix this. How can I do it? And when I do, it opens up a whole new timeline for me. Yeah. It's the fractal yeah. thing, you know.
Exactly. And, you know, I think that's what happened with what our subject is, our topic of today's show. Mm-hmm. It's kind of strange. It's the story of ketchup.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish I could see our listeners, because I'd love to ask for a show of hands. Do you prefer ketchup or mustard on your hot dog or whatever kind of sandwich you want to eat?
Sure.
Oh my gosh. There's a show of hands. Curtis just stuck his hand in the door and startled the daylights out of me. That's when I funny. Asked for a show of hands of who preferred ketchup, his hand came through the door.
That's awesome.
Oh man, there's my jocularity I like ketchup. For the moment.
I definitely like ketchup on a hot dog, and there are folks that think it's heinous.
I prefer mustard, absolutely, but it's okay. And the reason we're talking about ketchup mm-hmm. is Barb did some research and found out that it starts, the story of ketchup starts in Southeast Asia with fish sauce.
Hmm.
Not a fan of fish sauce. Never have been. Some no. theories are that it started with Chinese soy sauces. Now, I do like soy sauce. However, I found something else that I use instead of soy sauce because soy doesn't like me back. And it's made out of coconut. And it's coconut amino acids. It's actually healthy for me and tastes just like soy sauce. I don't know how they do it. However, there is another theory that ketchup came from the Mediterranean, where the ancient Romans made a similar fish sauce to what the Vietnamese use today. Now, we do know that the word ketchup derives from the Chinese word ketsup, K-E-T-S-U-P, which is the name of a sauce derived from fermented fish. No wonder I don't like it. Makes me want to pinch my nose and.
I don't think they use fish in real ketchup. Maybe they do. It's not on the label.
Well, in 1812, the first tomato-based ketchup hit the market. James Meese, A Philadelphia scientist is credited with developing the recipe which used tomatoes, not fish, as a base.
Interesting.
And I'll take a little segue. I remember years ago, Häagen-Dazs ice cream had a limited ice cream mix or flavor that I just loved. No longer eat actual ice cream anymore, but it was pear, I think pear honey and pecans, something, it was something different. It was a very odd combination, very tasty. And then, and they said it was a limited edition and I ate it for maybe 3 or 4 months, I guess. And then all of a sudden it was no longer available. So I wrote Häagen-Dazs. I mean, I loved this stuff and I wrote them and asked them, why can't I find it anymore? And they responded that it was a limited edition because it was created by one of their cooks who had an abundance of pears on her pear trees. And when the pears ran out, so did the ice cream.
There were no pears.
Yeah. I mean, they couldn't go buy more pears.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
But that was kind of interesting.
Well, I that reminds me of when I was a kid in North Platte, Nebraska. There was an ice cream dairy there with an ice cream factory part in it. And they had a little, like a soda shop counter in there. And I used to go in and get licorice and peanut butter ice cream. And it was pretty good.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty,
definitely
pretty good
different
stuff. Yeah, I'd never...
The reason I brought up the idea of the ice cream and the pears was because I imagine the reason that they developed this recipe using tomatoes was somebody had an abundance of tomatoes one year, had a bumper crop. Sure. That's when a lot of recipes are invented, when there's a bumper crop of something and you don't want it to waste. You don't know what else to do with it. So you create something.
Sure. People like it and it catches on.
Yeah.
And well, you know, I wanted to say, you're talking about the timing on this. The tomato ketchup was, you said, early 1800s?
Yes, 1812.
And, well, I follow this fellow who's like does reenacting and history of living history of the 18th century. He has a recipe for mushroom ketchup in there. Ooh. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I guess, I didn't think about the fish sauce. So that's the basic of it, where it started.
Yeah,
I guess. Interesting.
That's what her research says.
Well, I like it. I don't like to eat it on everything, but there are certain things I like it on, like French fries.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, Curtis likes to mix ketchup with soy sauce and use that as a barbecue sauce.
Oh, I can see that. It's
pretty tasty.
Yeah.
I think he uses honey too, but I don't know. I don't remember. They sell more than 650 million bottles each year, but I don't know if that's all brands included all across the world or just in Chicago. It doesn't say.
That's a lot though.
But yeah, 650 million bottles.
Wow.
That's a lot of ketchup.
Well, I got 1.5 of them here at the house. but we're gonna have to leave it at that, Mary. We got to get out of here.
Oh man!
Get back to doing what we do. And
meetings.
meetings today, yeah, for sure. Well, listen, I want to thank everybody out there for listening to us. Really appreciate you joining us. Check us out online at beunique.org. We're also on Facebook at Be Unique Radio. Like us, follow us, please.
That's BUNEKE.org. Bye, everybody.